Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 733, and we're recording on September 12th. That's a Thursday in the year 2024. My name is Martin Spriggs, and this is a show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. Joining me as usual, Sally Draper. Hello, Sally. Welcome to the show once again.
Thank you, Martin. Happy to be joining you. And apparently it's Wells Tech Blue Day because we both have our blue shirts on today.
Those of you
for whatever
watching
reason
at home, yes, can see what we're wearing. And the fact that it's 2:36 in Sally's office, as it always is, yes.
Where time stands still.
Where time stands still, yes. But we will move forward. We have begun a topic that I think is near and dear to both of our hearts as we are or are involved with volunteers in almost every step. I think many people can relate to that. Sally, what are you volunteering for these days?
Well, one of the interesting ones that I'm doing is coordinating our communion assistants at church. Mm-hmm. And so we have a pool of men in the congregation, on our church council, et cetera. And it's a lot like herding cats, actually. They're great guys, but man, we need a total of 7 assistants each time we have communion, which is twice a month.
Yeah, that's
and,
a lot. Yeah.
And, you know, what service are they going to attend and blah, blah, blah. And it gets to be challenging, but that's a fun one. Another one that I do is worship slides. Occasionally I format the worship slides, which thankfully we use the Christian Worship Service Builder and get the slides from there. So it's just little tweaking and, formatting and things that really needs to be done, some customizations and things like that. But that's been a really neat opportunity to have some hands-on experience with Service Builder as well.
Who do you have a schedule, and apparently you aren't maybe responsible for the AV slide people?
No.
You just produce the slides.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's a team effort. And there's a group of people that are responsible. Some do, video recording things and getting things to TV stations and things like that. And others do the live stream. And so, yeah, it takes a whole group of people to make it happen.
Yeah. Well, I think the technology of today helps, but it is, as I think we'll talk about a little bit, it is not perfect because everybody needs to have kind of the same ability to use technology to take advantage of some of it too. Yeah, a desire. Yes. They maybe have the ability, just not the desire. Yes.
Sure.
Well said. Well said. So that's probably a great introduction because we are talking about communicating with volunteers or them communicating with their leadership and how to recognize those awesome people, making sure that they feel appreciated and have a great experience while they are volunteering in the church or school or wherever it is. So those are kind of two, and maybe those sometimes go hand in hand. If you're talking and you're on the same page with your volunteers, they're going to feel supported and appreciated and vice versa. So where would you like to start, Sally?
Well, I already kind of tipped my hat that I have this responsibility with the communion assistants. Mm-hmm. So that's all about communicating. I don't see them face to face or anything, so I'm totally relying on technology. So I was like, oh, easy peasy. I'll set up this. I'll set up that. It'll be great. And it just hasn't worked out that way from my experience. What I ended up doing, Martin, was setting up a Google spreadsheet with kind of the overall schedule, particular Sundays and worship times and who's on and that kind of thing. And I thought that was pretty brilliant. I could get them to this spreadsheet and it would work. But I have to communicate with them via email to get them to the spreadsheet. So I send one email and say, go look at the spreadsheet and fill in your name wherever you want, blah, blah, blah. Well, right away, there were challenges. People didn't want to have to log into the spreadsheet and things like that because there are Google accounts required. And so I ended up making the spreadsheet public. And then I found that people still didn't want to go to it. Just click a link and it works for you. And so I copy what's in the spreadsheet into the email, and we have a thread of 14 emails
Oh
back and
boy.
forth every time. So that's a challenge, but it works. And that's where they want the communication. I have one guy that says, just text me. And so he doesn't look at email. So I do have to text one particular man. But besides that, if I put it in the email, they seem to be fine with a long email thread. Is that your experience as well?
Yeah, I didn't share my volunteer surfaces, but it's been very similar. I'm the president of the congregation, and communicating with the church council and other volunteers is a big part, of that. And boy, it's probably even more painful than that. I've got some that do a pretty decent job of, putting their reports in the folder I want them to put it in. Others say, well, I can't get in. Others say, I'm going to email it to you. You put it in as an attachment. Some just put it in the email, and I put it in the form of a report and put it in there. So it's all over the board. And I think what I have found in at least the communication area is that the only surefire way to get everybody's attention is with a text. I cannot count on everybody looking at their email on a regular basis or in a timely fashion. And maybe that's to be expected. I think we've talked about this in the past, where we're thinking email is this kind of real-time communication tool, and I think we're learning more and more that it's
A
not. And I
shift,
don't think that's going to get any better. So I think things like texting, people pay more attention to, but it has its own inherent limitations too. Length, threading ability. Group texts are not always, perfect. You have to use, in some cases, a mobile device, although, with iMessage, you can use your computer to do that too. But there's nothing perfect, but if I really wanted to make sure I've got everybody's attention, it's the texting route.
I'm just thinking that I have to type it on my tiny little keyboard, which I'm not a fan of typing on, and I do use the voice to
Oh, yeah.
text option some, but that's not perfect, and so I end up sending something that has some strange, voice converted text in it that I didn't mean to send. And so I don't know about iMessage, but I'm not a Mac person, so I don't know if there's a parallel. Do you on PC? Where you can text from your computer.
I believe you can text through iCloud. So log into your iCloud account and use iMessage there. Because you're on an iPhone, right?
I am.
Yeah. So I think you can go to iCloud and use iMessage
There. Okay. I'm drawing arrows on my paper. So
there.
get the right order there. I don't think I've ever
I may
logged
be
into
wrong, but
iCloud.
I think you can.
Okay.
Yeah. Or your iPad might be a better experience too, if you've got a little bit bigger keyboard to work with. So,
That's true. I can even, yeah.
but yeah, even with that, it's still got, issues. And, when I first started, I've been president now at two congregations recently, and thought, oh, I'll get them all on Slack or Discord or something like that. That was quickly, that's not going anywhere. I mean, you have to have the exact right individuals to do that. And maybe you can do that on some projects, where, you've got the individuals that are willing to do that. But volunteers are not like, your team at work, where, they're on their computers, for 8 hours a day, and you can pretty much count on them staying in tune with what's going on. These people dip in and out of these projects or responsibilities, if you're lucky, once a week. So I think that's a challenge to get them into the habit of, getting this on their radar. So I don't know. I'd love for our listeners to give us some tips there.
Yeah, for sure. I just want to do a quick shout out. Not a volunteer, at least not in our congregation or most that I've been in, but the church secretary is a master at coordinating this kind of thing because this is her life all day long. And, she's the one that gets all the emails to dump them into the right folder and all those kind of things at our church, at least. And it's got to be a challenging job. Somebody that we really need to appreciate and recognize is our dear church secretary. So, one note that we made as we were planning for this, Martin, was that reminders are key. So, in that whole communication thread where you're trying to get, responses and do work and make progress, you've also got to have another side thread that reminds them to be at the meetings or to meet their deadlines or whatever. So, it's almost like two channels that you need to keep going.
And you can schedule emails. I think you can schedule texts too through different tools as well. So that's something that you can maybe do ahead of time, so that you're not the one that has forgotten or is a Johnny come lately. So, and then follow-ups are obviously key too. And we've talked about level 10 meetings and the ability to kind of optimize the time when you do get together. So you're not just kind of rehashing everything every time, but you're focused on action items and moving forward with key priorities that align with organizational goals. So I think one thing that helps that is kind of a running document or a running agenda. Level 10 meetings can be formatted that way, where it's not hard to have one document that has, all the successive meetings over the course of maybe a year. So it's easy to go back and say, oh yeah, we said this, rather than kind of looking at, 10, 12 different documents and not quite sure which one it was in. But if you can search just one, that's helpful too.
Yep, that's the way our council minutes are released. So the council is the meeting that happens after all the subcommittee meetings, the different areas meet. And so the council minutes are at the top, and then all of those other minutes are added in. So it's one long document where you see both the council and the different committees that have met. So that's helpful too. And that's thanks to the church secretary
Let's
combining.
spend a couple minutes before we leave the topic on just the recognition and appreciation side. There are things that you've done, Sally, that you remember that have been, particularly effective or appreciated.
I think it's nice, and we've participated in with our church council to have just some fellowship time and be that, a side event that's, off campus or whatever, where you get together. I know we've done, meet up at the winery or whatever. There's some music playing or whatever, or a potluck meal. I think once a year we do a potluck at Christmas time to get everybody together, and maybe we do that with the school faculty as well, who we don't always, interact with as much or whatever as the church council. So that's been nice. And then another experience I had, and this one from the member ministry team at St. Paul's in New Ulm, was that they would visit different groups within the church that were volunteers. For instance, I was on the handbell choir there, and they came to one of our handbell practices and said, "We just wanted to come and say thank you for what you're doing. And we have this little gift basket to pass around." And it had like church magnets and little flashlights and tiny little gifts, so everybody could pick a gift and it be a reminder that you were recognized for that. And at the same time, they do that. A different group each month, they would put it in the church bulletin or newsletter to say, this month we're recognizing the handbell choir. And if you have an opportunity, say thank you to one of them for the work that they put into that, So it's kind of a concerted effort to say thank you on a regular basis to different groups.
I agree. Sometimes it's as little as, mentioning, doing after service in the announcements, mention, of somebody doing a great job or appreciation for, hey, boy, thanks, Sally, for, putting together the communion. I mean, it's a behind the scenes, nobody sees it, but communion wouldn't happen without it, kind of a thank you. Those kinds of things are small, free, but highly visible and highly appreciated, I think. So.
You know, Martin, it's been a long time since we turned to our friend Pinterest for anything. But I will say that there are ways to thank volunteers and donors. I'm sure this is just one of many of these types of boards out here, but ideas for you if you're looking for some fun little gift or something to
Nice.
thank a group. So Pinterest is a good place to get to spark ideas for that.
Probably create some of those with our friend Canva too.
I bet we could. Yeah. Good thought.
Right. Anything else before we leave the topic?
No, but we could probably talk about volunteers maybe at least once a year, once a season, because they're kind of our bread and butter in the type of work that we do in ministry. We rely on them heavily, and you know, it's worth the pause to try to do it as best as we can and give them the most that we can in our ministry efforts. So.
For sure. For sure. All right. Let's move on to our ministry resource of the show. And I think we've got a couple of options here we can pick from, or all of them. One is just a reminder that there are options out there for kind of online stores that you can provide opportunities for your congregation members to buy church swag, whether that's a logoed t-shirt or sweatshirt or sweater, mugs, pens, whatever. It's real easy to kind of prop these up and send people that way just to kind of show their spirit and, increase the awareness that the organization exists and, a little bit of pride in the organization, from golf balls to socks to tumblers, et cetera. We'll put a link in the show notes, but Wells has its own store, wellsstore.net. We are have a relationship with Sky High Marketing here in Milwaukee, and they are Wells owned. They have a neat group of people over there. In fact, our principal's wife is working there now. The owner is a Wells guy, and they do partner with Wells congregations if you want to use them for your store, and you can kind of work with them to get your logo on t-shirts and whatnot. So to do that, just send a use the contact link on their page, skyhighmarketing.com, and just tell them that you're a Wells organization and are interested in perhaps putting together an online store. And there are other kind of store in a box kind of solutions too out there. You don't have to necessarily use something like Sky High Marketing, which may or may not be the right size for your organization. You'll have to figure that out with them. But there are some things that you can just kind of jump in and configure on your own. We've done that on Wells Tech too.
We have in the past, and one I'd recommend now is Printify. I think that was a pick of the week of mine not that long ago. And they do have something they call a pop-up shop where you can upload your designs and just create a little storefront right there on their site. You don't even need to have any kind of setup at all. They do it all, and you put the price on it, you know, over and above their standard price. You put whatever price you want, if you want any markup, and then you're open for business. So, yeah, I'm sure the Sky High experience is probably very similar. And the fact that they're in the Milwaukee area, I don't think has any bearing because you can do this from anywhere. So
Yeah, for
check it
sure.
out.
And
And
that's a
yeah.
great way to offer some thank yous to your volunteers.
For
Send them,
sure.
a gift card to your own store where they can both, receive your appreciation, but then also show their organizational spirit too by, some kind of logoed purchase that they could make. So I think that's a great way to do that.
Definitely.
It's funny that that word is our ministry resource and then a show on appreciation, you think.
Like somebody put a little thought into
Right, a
this.
little at
A little.
least. All right, let's move on to our picks of the week.
Well, if you are a Wells Tech podcast follower, then you'll know that I had a huge dilemma in our last episode. I don't know if you remember it or not, Martin, but my scroll wheel died on my mouse, and I had to go downstairs and get my personal computer mouse and bring it up here, and just made it in time for the show recording. And I realized how much I relied on my scroll wheel at that moment. And so I went shopping for a new work mouse, and I bought something a little bit different this time. I've been very set on Logitech mouse solutions. I really like the look and the feel of those. But this time I actually bought one that's a little bit slimmer. It's still got a
And
pretty
pretty.
decoration. Yeah. And the secret to it is that it's stealthy. It has silent clicks. I didn't know such a thing existed, but
Not only silent scroll, but silent clicks.
silent. I'm clicking away over here and you don't even
I
know
don't
it.
hear anything.
It's just really amazing. It makes me feel like a spy or
And
something.
boy,
But yeah.
that's inexpensive too. Wow.
Well, actually, if you
19.99.
get it on sale, it's only 14. So that's what I paid for
Oh my
mine. So
gosh.
watch for a sale and you'll have a nice, quiet, stealthy mouse, and it's beautiful as well. So they have a couple of options, but I picked the floral. So that is my pick of the week. I'm loving the silent click. It's really it took me a little while to get used to it. It's also kind of ambidextrous because it's not got any favor to the
Left or
normal
right?
side that I click, the left. But so it feels a little bit different. It took me a little while to get used to it, but I really like it.
Cool.
So,
Yeah, that's
yeah.
one of the reasons I like using a trackpad is that they're basically silent, and that helps on shows, of course, but it also offers some advantages when I'm doing video editing and stuff like that too. It's a little bit easier to manipulate things. Plus, you
Awesome.
don't need to plug, carry something along with you. If you've just got your laptop out there, you always have your trackpad. So very nice. That's the Logitech M340. Okay.
How did my pick turn into your trackpad? I don't know how that happened. It is the M340. I get the last word there.
You should know how this happens after
Yeah.
733 episodes.
Yeah, I
This
kind
is
of
not
do.
rocket science. Yes. All right. Well, the way to flip that around is I'd have to have my pick first, and then you could have your way with it after that
I
too. So
see. Well, I'm game for that.
my pick is basically a blog post. And every once in a while you run across a post that you know is going to be something that you bookmark and say, I really need to remember this and put this into practice. Maybe not today or tomorrow, but someday. And this one is called Church Speaker Placement 101, Everything You Need to Know. And truly, this is everything you need to know. It's a very or highly technical article talking about acoustics and where to place speakers in your space. So it even talks about how far from different walls and the angles of the walls and how high the ceilings are. And I mean, it goes into to great detail. It's not so technical that somebody couldn't read it a couple times and get most of the relevant information out. But I get this question once in a while, mostly about, who to contact or who to work with. And very often, though, our churches are smaller, or we're talking about a Bible study space where you're trying to put up speakers and such. So I think this would work well there too, where, audio is so important and you want everybody in the room to be able to hear, and you're going to have varying hearing capabilities or challenges. So you want to try and meet as many needs as possible. And this is a great article that talks about, where to put those speakers for optimal audio experiences for everybody. And so this comes from Church Leaders, was churchleaders.com. And it's basically I don't know how many words it is, but it's not insignificant. It'll take you a little bit to get through it. And like I say, you may have to read it a couple times to truly understand what they're going after, because they give a little bit of the science behind it as well. But this, along with other articles on different types of speakers, I think might help somebody who's especially setting up a smaller space and wanting to know, Do I put the speaker in the corner or the center of the room or on each side of the speaker? Or, does it, how close should it be to the people that we're trying to provide audio for? It talks about the importance of mixing and why you should maybe have an equalizer that might allow you to shape the sound a little bit as well. So, again, Church Speaker Placement 101 blog post. Everything you need to know. Now, I don't know if it's everything you need to know, but it's quite a bit. So I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, I'm just scrolling through and learning about slap echoes and sweep sounds and all kinds of interesting things. But yeah, there's some math involved, all kinds of stuff here. Good
And
stuff.
you know when the sound's good and when it's not. It's kind of like lighting. It's a you don't know maybe the technology or the science behind it, but you know it when you see it or hear it. And this kind of removes a little bit of that mystery. And if you're one that's responsible, like many of our listeners are, give some good advice here.
Awesome.
Let's move on to community news and feedback.
Well, I'm going to make mention of an email I received from Mike Plucker, who's a teacher at St. Paul's in New Ulm. And he's someone I mentioned when we talked about DFIT on the show this summer, which was one of those professional development tools that I worked with to generate lesson resources for teachers using AI type logic. And Mike was actually a beta tester for DFIT and had shared it, and that's kind of how I learned about it. But he did share, and it was actually announced the day that I talked about DFIT on the show, like right afterwards, that there are several cool people that created DFIT templates, including Matt Miller from Ditch That Textbook and
We know him.
Hello and Teacher Lady and several others. So, new templates being added constantly to DFIT, and some of them are from friends of the show. So that was cool to learn. Mike also went on to say that he's been doing some beta testing for another group, and so he couldn't mention what the name of the product was, but he said he has students orally chat. They video their reply with an AI and it assesses their understanding. It generates follow-up questions for the students if their answer wasn't quite there yet, and to see if it can get them to give a better reply or to kind of explore further or more in depth. And he says the video talking to AI component is pretty cool. It seems more natural than text-based assessment. So, some new things in the works, it seems, with AI and education. Imagine that. I've been working lately to put together the website for the Minnesota District Lutheran Teachers Conference, and Mike is going to be doing two sessions there, a beginner and an advanced AI session for education. So if you happen to be attending that conference, there's a plug for some interesting sessions to sit in on.
Nice,
Yeah.
nice.
Martin, you responded recently to a listener's question about copyright.
Yeah, Tina from La Crosse wrote in to ask about any information we could provide about licensing for streaming. Most of us are familiar with OneLicense.net and CCLI, and we've been using those for years to reproduce the written copyrighted material. And we know or have heard that that can cover, or those same companies can cover streaming or podcasting licenses. But there's still a lot of confusion about what you need and how you report. So I put together a little response to her, and we can share that information. There is a lot more information now than there used to be. So I put links. Mostly from those two vendors, because those are the two primary ones that I know our congregations use, about when to use the license, what they cost, what they cover, what they don't cover, what some of the reporting requirements are. Used one of my AI friends to get me started to kind of organize the content, get the appropriate links in there. Super helpful to get started that way. And then actually, the AI tool I use, Perplexity, allows you to post that kind of stuff to a web page. So you can modify it and get a good start and make it public if you want, which is what I did for Tina. So
And it looks like when I visit that Perplexity page, I can ask my own questions of Perplexity
that's
and follow
right.
up on it on the
Exactly.
topic.
So the gift that
Pretty
keeps on
cool.
giving. Yes.
Awesome. Well, just a reminder, since we talked about Service Builder earlier, that some of those hooks for copyright reporting are built right into
Right.
Christian Worship Service Builder, which is a nice feature. It also includes it, where appropriate, on slides that are generated from Service Builder. So that's pretty cool.
Exactly right. Anything else
One
in
more
community news and
mention.
feedback?
Yeah, and this is one you found as well, and I hadn't heard about it yet when we discussed this earlier, but Canva is increasing its price. We've talked about Canva, and I've become a big fangirl recently, and this does say for the Teams version where you're paying for 5 licenses for your team. So I haven't seen this kind of price increase on the personal level yet. But as a reminder, I think it was Tom Rosenau that wrote to us and reminded us that Canva is free for nonprofits and education. So make sure you look for that option and put in your information, and you should be able to get free access for schools and churches. But yeah, 300% increase because they've built in a ton of AI into Canva and they're feeling like it's worth the price of admission.
For people who don't know what Canva is, Sally, can you give us a 30-second description?
It's an online image slash designer repository, and you can design anything from a social media post to a presentation to a website,
Or a
documents,
postcard or anything like
postcards,
that?
posters, all
Okay.
kinds of sizes and things. Comes with thousands of templates that are very professionally done, and it also allows you to integrate your own imagery and all kinds of things. Create your own imagery from their AI tools that are embedded. It's got it all going on.
Create a color palette and work with that. I mean, it's got all
Sure.
kinds of cool stuff. All right. Well, I think that's going to about do it. Sally, I am really excited about our next show. Why would I be excited?
Well, because, I'm sorry, I was trying to turn off screen share. Because our friends are coming back.
Our friends are coming back. They decided that they could tolerate us for another season.
That's right.
Jason
We are.
Schmidt and Rachel Feld are going to join us again to. And we have them on to talk about educationally focused topics. So we're kind of in the kitchen figuring out what kind of recipes we're going to put together for you over the course of this school year. And they always have great ideas and a wealth of experience. So that's always neat to talk to them about education stuff. So
Very true. Jason brings the sunshine to
he
Wellstack.
does. They both do.
For sure.
I think that's going to about do it, Sally. Thank you for your time, effort, and energy, which you bring to the show. And thanks to all of our listeners. We couldn't do it without you. If you have a desire to contribute to the show, you can certainly do that. Go to wellstech.wells.net. You see all the beautiful show notes and ways to connect with us. If you just want to go use good old-fashioned email, you can do that. Wellstech@wells.net is where we live, and we monitor that and share what's appropriate, and really appreciate everybody and what they do. I did want to put in, we should have probably put this plug in here again. We have a AI summit coming up in February, and we have a page dedicated to what that's all about. We are taking nominations for people to attend. So if you and or somebody you know or would recommend should attend, you can nominate them. We're looking for people who have experience in the AI space or have I think anything to ask or explore in the area of AI that you're seriously either interested in or maybe have insights into about, well, where would AI fit in this particular space? And this can be either as a pastor or a teacher or staff minister or church leadership. But we will put a link to in the show notes to the Wells Tech AI Summit page. And we are looking for nominations up through the middle of next month. We'll take those nominations and then we'll kind of get our people together. It's going to be kind of an intimate event, 20 to 25 people. So, real small down in Doral, Florida in February, which sounds like kind of a nice deal too. And we will pay most of the expenses for that. So, just want to get that plug in. Again, thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you all next time. Bye-bye.